Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today, the Supreme Court declined to take up an appeal filed by Michelle Carter of Plainville. Her boyfriend, Conrad Roy, killed himself in 2014, and Carter was convicted of involuntary manslaughter for encouraging him to do so. Her team said that the conviction violated Carter's First Amendment rights. Our WBUR legal analyst, Nancy Gertner, is part of that defense team. She's also a retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School. We caught up with her earlier this afternoon, and I started by asking her for her reaction to the Supreme Court declining to hear Carter's case.
I'm saddened by that. I think that this is a really critical issue. It's not just a First Amendment issue, not the right to say anything you want anywhere. It was the use of the criminal process, the criminal law, to make criminal words that she said, particularly in a situation where those words supposedly led to someone's suicide. This is not the kind of situation where you're talking about encouraging someone on the phone to, you know, why don't you go kill X and go to this place and do it this way. This is using words to cause a suicide when the issue of causation is complex, as we see in this case and in the BC case, and when the issue of what those words were is complex. And we were asking the Supreme Court to resolve whether words could be used in this fashion.
Okay, we'll come back to the BC case at the end. Why do you think the justices, given everything you just said, why do you think the justices chose not to hear this appeal?
Well, they have a pretty busy docket coming up. I think it's a question of they don't necessarily turn down cases that are not meritorious. They pick and choose what they wish to opine on. And this just wasn't up there with abortion and issues with respect to the president. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything about the merits. We're going to be seeing this over and over again. It's going to get to the Supreme Court one way or the other at some point, and that will be very troubling.
Does that mean that it's essentially, my assumption was that with the Supreme Court not hearing it, that means that the lower court's findings essentially for now represent settled law. Are you saying that that's not the case?
The lower court's findings for now represent settled law. I expect that the lawyers in the case of the woman who supposedly encouraged her boyfriend to commit suicide from BC, Boston College, that they'll be raising some of the same issues. I expect that if there is another prosecution anywhere in the country, they will raise the same issues because the issues are not insubstantial. You know, the question, suicide is a complicated decision. And when someone is just using words to encourage someone else to commit suicide, not facilitating, not providing the drugs, not providing the weapon, the question is whether or not you want to use the criminal law in that way. What are the limits of the criminal law?
Let's talk about this use of words for a minute. You just referenced the Boston College case with In Young Yu, who faces an involuntary manslaughter charge after she was accused of berating her boyfriend, Alexander Ortula, to the extent that he essentially committed suicide. Much of the case in the Carter situation hinged on a 47-minute phone call between Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy after he got out of a truck in a shopping mall parking lot. But the phone call wasn't recorded. Do you think there was enough discussion during the trial about whether or not that conversation happened as Carter said it did?
There's no question that there wasn't enough conversation about that. We got into the case after the trial, and we were stunned to find out that the words that everyone was repeating over and over again, the get back in the truck statement that Michelle Carter supposedly made to her boyfriend, that was not in any contemporaneous text. That was not in any overheard conversation. That was her recounting it 2 months later in a rambling text message with a friend of hers. That didn't come out. Just as in the BC case, for every get back in the truck comment, there is a please, Conrad, don't do it comment, which just points up how complex these cases are. I mean, the best way to describe it is this is both speech on the one hand. This is suicide, which is incredibly complex. The causes of suicide are incredibly complex. And these are adolescents saying all sorts of stuff on the phone. And the notion you can wrap that into a criminal package and throw someone in jail for it, it seems to me is preposterous.
So there's a very long record of texts between In Young Yu and Alexander Ortula in that case. There is some record of the exchanges between Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy as well. That seemed to be enough for a series of courts to determine that she had committed involuntary manslaughter. Why is that not convincing enough to you?
The fact that courts have been convinced to find this involuntary manslaughter, that's not convincing to me. I was a court once. I'm happy to criticize courts. It seems to me that the Supreme Judicial Court made a grievous error in this case, and I think that the Supreme Court made a grievous error in turning it down. I think that we're going to be seeing these cases over and over again. And finally, in my judgment, some court will say there have to be limits. Facilitating suicide, standing next to, providing the means, you know, is one thing, but just words is quite another thing.
As you noted, you were the court, right? You were a federal judge. You
also,
Right. And you noted that you got involved in this case sort of later after the conviction, but you chose to get involved. Why does this case bother you so much?
I care about the use of the criminal law in ways that can hurt people. In other words, the overuse of the criminal law. When you talk about using words, particularly adolescent words, on text messages, means that any prosecutor can make the decision to pursue this as a manslaughter. And once the law is that vague, once the sort of mix of words that you're going to say count as manslaughter is as vague as this, then that is open for arbitrariness and open for misuse. That's the problem here. To the prosecutor in Norfolk County, this may look like manslaughter. To the prosecutor in Suffolk, it may not. If there is no press, that may mean there is no manslaughter conviction. Who knows? The fact is that when you're talking about words that are ambiguous and suicide, whose causes are ambiguous, You shouldn't be using the criminal law for these purposes.
All right. So what happens next for the Michelle Carter case?
Well, I think we have to talk. I mean, I think that this is certainly a bad sign. I'm someone who never gave up and never gives up. But we're going to have to talk. Certainly, this is the end of the line for this round. There's no question about it.
Nancy Gertner, WBUR legal analyst, retired federal judge, senior lecturer at Harvard Law School, and serving on Michelle Carter's defense team. Thanks for joining us on Radio Boston today.
Thank you.
And if you or someone you know is struggling, you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or the Samaritan's statewide hotline at 1-877-870-HOPE.